I either. If you haven't got that memo, I just gave it to you. So let's pray. God, I do thank you for your word. I thank you for your grace, God. I thank you for who you are. I thank you, God, for loving us, for giving us your peace tonight. And I just pray that, God, as the word goes forth, you take me out of the equation, God. Less of me and more of you, in Jesus' name. Amen. So a few weeks ago, I started reading the story, the account of Jesus being born in Luke. I never want the Christmas season just to come and go without really remembering the reason why we celebrate, right? So a few years ago, I just felt like it was just kind of, for me, the season was just like blah. And I was reminded, God reminded me, like, you need to continue reading this story every year so it just doesn't come and go and you miss what I want to, you know, show you during this Christmas time. And so for the past few years around Christmas, I begin to read the story again. And it's amazing to me how you can read the same part of the Bible and God will reveal different things to you the more you read it. And so there's a passage we're going to read in a few minutes that just came to me, it hit me a different way. And so tonight's title is What's in a Name? In the year 1597, the original play Romeo and Juliet was written. And this famous line has been quoted ever since. What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet. What's in a name is the question. I love the meaning of names. Benjamin means son of my right hand. My name means peaceful spirit. Malachi's name means God's messenger. And Addison's actually means son of Adam. But we were going for the middle name when we named her. Her middle name is Faith because it actually took a lot of faith to have her and to go through that pregnancy. We know that names are significant. Some names carry a lineage with them, a heritage, and others not so much, especially in the past few years. I looked up some of the craziest names in the past few years, and I'll just let you in on a few. I'm sure you've heard some. Bear Blue is a name, B-E-A-R, Bear Blue. Another name I'm sure we are somewhat familiar with, some of us, is Northwest. Like, who does that to their kid? Northwest. Apple Martin. No, not secretly my child, but someone named their kid Apple Martin. Some other names. Someone named their child hashtag. I kid you not. I know they wrote it out, H-A-S-H-T-A-G, hashtag, like, come on. Felony with a P-H. Talk about, yeah, felony. Come here, felony. Okay. And then one of the names in the year 2014, one of the first baby names that came out was So Unique, hyphenated. Now, I'm all for being unique. You know, I get that. Like, every kid is unique. We all are in God's grace. But really, So Unique, hyphenated. I don't know if you just had to remind yourself that your kid is that unique, that you name your child that. But so we know that names are significant. In the Bible, a name was given to represent a situation that they were going in. When they were born, names were often given based on how they were born. In Genesis 35:18, it says, Rachel was about to die. But with her last breath, she named the baby Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. And the baby's father, however, called him Benjamin, which means son of my right hand. Moses, in Exodus 2:10, he was named. Later, when the boy was older, his mother brought him back to Pharaoh's daughter, who adopted him as her own son. The princess named him Moses, for she explained, I lifted him out of the water. Esau means hairy. He was a very hairy baby. Ezekiel means God's strengthened. Jabez, one of the most powerful prayers in the Bible, that he was actually named out of pain. It says in 1 Chronicles 4:9 that Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. And his mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. How would you like to have a name that every time your mom said it, it reminded you of how much pain you brought her when you were born? But out of that name, again, he was the one that wrote, enlarge my territory, bless me indeed, right? There is also a changing of names through divine intervention in the Bible. A change in your name meant that you had a change in your character where God came and changed your name. So we have Abram, which meant high father. His name was changed to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. Jacob originally meant trickster, heel grabber, and his name was changed to Israel because the Bible says that he wrestled with God and he won. And Simon, which meant listening, his name was changed to Peter, which means rock. And if you know anything about Peter, he was the rock of the foundation of the whole Christian church movement. And so there was divine interventions that happened when your character changed in the Bible. And then there were divine appointed names. Divine appointed names. In Genesis 17:19, it says, "But God said, 'No, but your your wife will bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant for his descendants after him.'" And so God came to him and said, "You're going to have a son, and you will call him Isaac." There was no, you know, going back and forth with your wife about what's his name going to be. God already named Isaac. John the Baptist was given a divine appointed name. In fact, this is the scripture that made me begin to think about what a name is. In Luke 1:11 through 17, we have the account where the angel comes to Zechariah and he says, now, if we know this story, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they couldn't have a child because Elizabeth couldn't conceive. And so the angel comes to Zechariah and says, "Your wife is going to bear a son, and you will name him John." Now, Zechariah, in these verses, you can read it yourself, 11 through 17, he didn't believe the angel. He was out of disbelief. And so what the angel did was he shut his mouth. He couldn't talk for all of Elizabeth's pregnancy. At first, I was like, "Oh, man, that would stink." But then I'm like, it might not be so bad. Anyway, so he couldn't talk through all of Elizabeth's pregnancy. And so then I want to read Luke 1:59 through 66. It says, "When it was time for Elizabeth to have her baby, she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown her great mercy, and they shared her joy. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him after his father, Zechariah. But his mother spoke up, and she said, 'No, he is to be called John.' They said to her," I know this was custom back in the day where other people got to name your kid. I would not be cool with that. Like, "No, you're not naming my child. Like, who do you think you are?" But that wasn't uncommon, apparently. So they said to her, "There's no one among your relatives who has that name." Then they made signs to his father to find out what he would like to name the child. So he asked for a writing tablet, and to everyone's astonishment, he wrote, "His name is John." Immediately his mouth was open and his tongue was set free, and he began to speak, praising God. All the neighbors were filled with awe, and throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be? For the Lord's hand is with him." They couldn't understand why his name was going to be John, except that Zechariah and Elizabeth knew his name was going to be John because it was a divine appointed name. God said, "This is going to be your child's name, and this is what you will name it." But the people couldn't understand that. But we leave that scene knowing that this boy had extreme, like, purpose in his life. And they knew that God's hand was on him because they were so set, even though it wasn't in a family line of names that named John, Zechariah and Elizabeth, they knew that God was going to call him John. And his name means Jehovah has been gracious, has shown favor. And he prepared a way for our Lord Jesus Christ, right? And so all this intro to say that God having a say in a child's name was not uncommon. And I would venture to say that some of us here have asked God, you know, when we were naming our children, "God, help me to name my kids so that it has purpose in his life." I know when we were naming Malachi, I knew right out, we actually had a different name picked out, and it wasn't setting right. It wasn't going. It wasn't flowing. And we began to pray. And as odd as this sounds, we really felt strongly about the name Malachi. And then when I looked it up, it was God's messenger. And to this day, I have dreams about him going other places. As much as I don't want it, you know, he's told me, "I want to go, I want to preach, I want to be, you know, in other places, I want to tell people about Jesus." And his name has significance for his purpose. And so we see that names have meaning. They have meaning, right? Moving on, we all know this story. There's a young girl. She finds favor with the Lord, and she finds favor. That's what the Bible says. She finds favor. We know it. The angel comes to her. We don't know when. We don't know where, but we know the angel comes to this girl, Mary, right? And he says to her, "You are blessed and highly favored, and you will bear a son and name him Jesus." Mary says, "I am your servant. Do what you will." Could you imagine being a young child? I think of this every time. And an angel coming to you and saying, "You're going to be pregnant." I'd be like, "Hey, I didn't do anything. What? Hey, slow down," right? But the angel says, "Just hold on. The Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. It's all good. God's hand is on you. You found favor with him." And Mary, being a young servant, says, "Okay, God, I trust you. Here I am. Do what you will." So Mary accepts, gives birth, and names him Jesus. Names him Jesus. Why? Because it's a divine appointed name. In Luke 1:30 through 31, it says, "The angel told her, 'Don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will become pregnant, give birth to a son, and name him Jesus.'" What's in a name? What's in a name? While many names, as we learn, could mean heritage and lineage and personality, there is a name that is above all other names. There is meaning, extreme meaning, behind this name, Jesus, and it's very significant. And so I began to think about, when we say the name of Jesus, do we really know the power that is behind this name? Do we fully comprehend what Jesus' name means? And this Christmas season, there's no better time to unveil what Jesus' name means. And this subject is so intricate that tonight I'm only going to give you a few meanings behind the name of Jesus, because I am no theologian. However, he did reveal to me some things in the Bible that I feel are very significant to us right now. Jesus' name means his presence. Isaiah 7:14 says, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. How many times do we go through life and we don't fully comprehend that God is with us? He's really with us. His name alone means Emmanuel. God is with us, meaning that we don't have to walk through this life alone, meaning we don't serve a God that's so unattainable that he's not with us, walking with us, moving with us, breathing with us, doing life with us. The Bible says that when we draw near to him, he will draw near to us. Jesus' name alone means his presence in our lives. So he's with us. He's walking, talking, moving with us, and he's with you. Jesus' name has many different meanings, right? Hundreds, in fact. You can go through the Bible and find hundreds of different names that Jesus means. But this one sticks out tonight, too. Isaiah 9, 6 through 7, it says, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." There's so much there in those four things that he says that he's called. Wonderful Counselor. We can get counsel from a lot of different people. We can get good counsel. We can get bad counsel. We can even get counsel that we seek to want to hear. Sometimes we don't want to hear counsel because it's not what we want to hear. So we will go to person until someone tells us what exactly we were looking for and that we're validated in some way, right? That's not necessarily the best counselor. However, the Bible says that he is a wonderful counselor. The word wonderful, we use it in ways that isn't really meant how it's supposed to be. Like, "Oh, that was a wonderful meal," right? I had a wonderful day today. So Jesus isn't just the wonderful counselor. He's the wonderful counselor. His name means it's exquisite. It's uncommon. And we can't comprehend what wonderful is because it's so amazing. And he's the wonderful counselor. He's the ultimate counselor. When we have something going on, we go to him first. And he will point the direction and what way to go because he's the wonderful counselor. And then he says he's the mighty God. Mighty is a strong word. It's a strong word. He's a mighty God. He's the only God that I know that conquered the grave. The only one. He conquered the grave. That is a mighty God. And we can't separate the birth of Jesus Christ without realizing the purpose behind the birth of Jesus Christ, right? We can't separate the two. He is a mighty God. Yes, he was a baby born in the manger, but he was raised to be a mighty God. He conquered the grave. He conquered death. And he was resurrected, and he did that in a mighty way. And that's the God that we serve, a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, an everlasting Father, everlasting, always there, never too busy, never preoccupied, never disinterested in the affairs that we go through. He's always there. He's everlasting. He's ever present. He's always with us all the time. He's an everlasting God. And he is the Prince of Peace. This season can get so stressful sometimes, so busy. Like we're always, I got places to go. I got presents to buy and to wrap. And do I have enough? Did I get enough? I don't have enough money to buy enough. What am I going to do? Like, and all these pressures can seem to get on us during the season. Like, oh, I got to go to another party. I got to go over here. But the Bible says that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He's the Prince of Peace. He doesn't order any of that stress. He doesn't order any of that anxiety. He doesn't order any of that busyness because he's the Prince of Peace. He's the good comforter. He soothes my conscience. He's the peace that passes all understanding. There's peace just by saying his name. When we're like, ah, and we all get there, right? We all go crazy. We all yell when we shouldn't. We all get just crazy. But if we go, Jesus, there's a peace that comes with that name. And it's the peace that passes all understanding. He is the Prince of Peace. Jesus' name is powerful. In Philippians 2, 9 through 11, it says, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under earth, and that every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. At his name, every knee will bow. At his name, every tongue confess. I don't know any other name that has that kind of power to it. I don't know any other name, and none of our names has that power to it. When I say Aaron, people are like, what? You know? When I say Ben, I'm not going to be like, ah, not going to happen. Just no other name has that kind of power to it. But Jesus, at the very name, every tongue will confess. At the very name, people will bow down. Every knee will bow. Jesus' name has that kind of power to it. So don't you think that when you speak his name, that kind of power can come over your life, over your home, over your situation? Because it can. Jesus' name is greater than any other name. In Hebrews 1, 3 through 4, it says, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. His name brings wholeness to our situations. His name cleanses us from our sins. His name is greater than any other name that ever will be or ever will be to come. He is a great God, and Jesus' name is greater than any other name. John 14, 13 says, you can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. We don't ask for, pray about it in any other name. What do we say after we pray? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Not in any other name. His name is the only one that can carry that kind of greatness to it, that kind of power behind a prayer. And when we say that, it's because it's greater than any other name. Acts 4:12 says there is salvation. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There is no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. That means I can't save you. Pastor can't save you. Your wife can't save you. Your husband can't save you. Your girlfriend can't save you. Your boyfriend can't save you. Your kids can't save you. No one else can save you but Jesus Christ. He's the only name that has the power to save us from everything that we've done to everything that we're going to do. It's his name. And sometimes we go through life thinking that, oh, so-and-so is going to help me. They're going to save me. No. Sometimes we think, oh, if I just get married, that's going to save me. No. If I just had a girlfriend or boyfriend, I'll be better. It's going to save me. It's going to help me. No. If I just had a kid, it's going to help me. No. Jesus is the only one that's going to save whatever situation that you're going through. Because he's the only name that can save us. The only one. Amen? There is presence. There is counsel. There is peace. There is power in the name of Jesus, which is above all other names. His name is greater than any illness. His name is greater than any sickness. His name is greater than any disease or dysfunction. His name is greater than depression. His name is greater than oppression. His name is greater than suicidal thoughts. His name is greater than alcoholism. His name is greater than drug addiction. Come on, his name is greater than gambling addiction. His name is greater than cancer. His name is greater than any sickness that you face. His name is greater. His name is greater than the Pope. His name is greater than Buddha. His name is greater than T.D. Jakes. His name is greater. It's greater than any president before or now. His name is greater. His name is greater than any name that could be given to anybody. His name is greater than any of that. And when we begin to walk and believe that over our lives, when we begin to say Jesus, that has a power inside of our lives. That when we begin to speak his name over our situation, that we begin to speak his name over our life, when we begin to speak his name in our homes, at our work, in our families, don't you think that's going to break those chains that you've been dealing with? Don't you think that's going to break the thoughts that you've been having? Don't you think that his name can do that? Don't you think that his name can heal the wounds that you've been feeling for the past 10 years in your life? Don't you think that his name has that power to do that in your life? Not just my life, but your life too. And when we begin to say that name, Jesus, 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 the presence of Jesus fills your home. The presence of Jesus fills your life. The presence of Jesus is greater than any other thing that we are facing. At the name of Jesus, no matter what it is, I don't know your mountain. I know mine. I know the thoughts that I deal with. I don't know yours. But I know when I'm looking at my mountain, I'm like, Jesus, I don't know what else to do. Sometimes I don't know what else to say other than his name. You know, what do you pray? What do you pray? I don't know. I just say Jesus. Because my words aren't enough. But at his name, there's power in that name. There's peace in that name. There's counsel in that name of Jesus. And so when we talk about a little baby born in a manger, there's power in that name of Jesus. There's power in that name. And when we begin to sing songs, you know, what a powerful name it is. And we're like, oh, that's a nice song. No, that's a powerful name that we're lifting up. I'm not worshiping anything else but my Jesus. What a wonderful name that is. What a powerful name it is. I want to encourage you tonight to give whatever it is over to the name of Jesus. I can't promise you instantly that it's going to go away. But I can promise you all those things that we just spoke of will come into your heart, will come into your life. That peace that you've been wanting, you say his name, Jesus, it's going to come into your life. You say that name, Jesus, those chains are going to begin to break. You say that name, Jesus, there's healing power in that name. There's healing power in that name. Whether it's a relationship that needs to be restored, whether it's an addiction that needs to be broken, there's power in that name. Begin to speak his name over your situation. Begin to speak it. Because when you begin to hear in your own ears something that is true, it creates faith. I love that. When you begin to speak Jesus' name, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, right? When you begin to say Jesus' name over your situation and you begin to hear it, even sometimes you don't even believe it. I don't believe it, honestly. If I'm honest with you, sometimes I'm like, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Seriously, Jesus, I need your help. But when I begin to speak it, it creates a faith inside of me that I might be shaky at first. I might be, Jesus. But by the end of it, I'm like, Jesus, you got this. You got this. It's out of my hands, because it creates a faith when you begin to speak truth over your life. It begins a faith inside of you will rise up. A boldness inside of you will rise up when you begin to speak his name over your life. What's in a name? My name might not mean anything to you, but the name of Jesus means everything to you. And when we begin to speak his name and we realize that there's power, there's greatness in that name, it changes everything. It's a whole new ball game. Amen. Let's pray. God, I thank you so much for your name. I thank you so much for the power that's in your name. I thank you for even giving your son, Jesus. And in that name, there's peace. In that name, chains are broken. In that name, there's counsel. In that name, there's power. In that name is greatness. I pray for situations, God, that are going on tonight. I pray that you give us the boldness to speak your name over them, to speak life over them, to help us know that there's no greater name. There's no greater name than your name, God. And I just thank you for that tonight. I thank you for your name being greater than any other name. And I thank you for saving us by it. I thank you for loving us with it, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need prayer for anything tonight, Brad, if you'll come up here, Dad, if you'll come up here, we want to pray with you. I want to encourage you, seriously, to don't neglect that name of Jesus. Begin to speak it. Begin to pray over it. Begin to just, when you have no other words to say, you say that name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.